before we jump into the word, I'm just going to pray one more time. I'm feeling a little under the weather today, and so this is one of those messages where I told Noah in the back, I said, you know, if you got to be quick on that mute button, because if I say something, I'm a little loopy, and if I say something, you may just need to mute it. So if at any point you stop hearing my voice, you know that that's why. But I hate feeling not 100% when I'm about to preach, but I also love it, because this is 100% total dependence on the Lord, and it's just another reminder that all I am is His vessel, and so that's the way it should be. Amen? Father, would you guide everything that happens from here on out? We thank you so much that you are a God worthy of all of our worship, all of our praise. Lord, we thank you that you and you alone are the one true God. Lord, I pray that as we continue to worship you, we've already worshiped you in prayer and in song, as well as this commissioning of a missions team. Lord, as we continue to worship you by opening up your word, would you make it so clear and evident to us? Would you let me diminish and you increase? Father, I pray that as we look at this passage for the day, that every single thing would point us to you. Every single thing that is said, every single thing that's understood would cause us to lean all the more heavily on you and trust in you, to see you clearly so that we don't leave this place the same way we walked in. We want to know you more. We want to love you more. We want to obey you more. We want to trust in you more. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you have your Bibles, could you open up to John chapter 16? And as I'm looking through this passage, really, we're going to look at most of the chapter 16 today. And there are a couple of things that stick out to me as I look through this passage. There seems to be a couple of points, two points in particular, in this chapter where Jesus seems to warn his disciples. He warns them that the world will hate them. He also warns them of trials and tribulations to come, but for every warning he gives them great comfort, because he tells them the world is going to hate you, but right after he says that, what does he say? But I'm sending the great helper, the great comforter, the Holy Spirit. Right after he tells them that they would experience this persecution, he says, but hold on, you can take heart, because I have overcome the world. This passage really lets us understand that in the midst of any trial, any circumstance, any bit of suffering, anything that we could face, we can have peace. And I don't know about you, but peace is something that we all need, right? Peace is something that seems so elusive in today's day and age. Peace is one of those things that it sounds like it's something from a bygone era. If you turn on the news, you're inundated with not peaceful thoughts. If you look at the, you know, scroll online and you're looking at the news feed, you're inundated with not peaceful thoughts. If you open up the Bible and you see the things that believers throughout the centuries have endured, it doesn't seem like peace is at the forefront of everyone's mind. But I have a picture I want to show you here in a second. I don't know if you can see that, but there is a guy. Can you see him? He's standing in the lighthouse, right? And I love this picture. I've come across this picture many times. I don't exactly remember where to cite it, but I've seen it in paintings or big prints. And I love this because there's a quote, and it's attributed to many different authors, so I don't know exactly who the original was. But the quote goes something like this: peace is not the absence of trouble, but it is the presence of Christ in the midst of trouble. Think about that for a minute. When Jesus is talking to his disciples, and that's what we've been going through, this farewell discourse for the last few chapters, starting in chapter 13. Now we're all the way in 16, and it'll continue even past this chapter 16. Jesus is talking to his disciples and he's giving them instructions, final instructions before he leaves earth. He's telling them of the things that will come. He's trying to prepare them. He's trying to tell them, guys, that's going to be you. You're going to be in the midst of the storm. He's preparing them for the time that he's going to be put on the cross. And their whole world is going to collapse right in front of them. This Jesus that they've been walking through life with for three and a half years, they're going to see him be put to death. And it's going to shake them to the core. Shake them so much to the core that they're all going to leave. They're going to abandon him. They're going to go, they're going to run and hide. They're hiding for fear of the authorities. But then they're going to see Jesus rise from the dead. And after he rises from the dead, they're going to see him ascend into heaven. And it's only just beginning. Because if we go into the book of Acts, we see the disciples, they face trial after temptation, after suffering, after horrible things. Over and over again, they're beaten for sharing the gospel. They're imprisoned for sharing the gospel. They're thrown, they're whipped, they're trampled upon. Life is no good for these disciples. They're in the midst of a storm. But I believe that Jesus' words here in the farewell discourse is to prepare them for this. I believe that Jesus' words here to his disciples are to say, I'm not going to take away the storm. Because if you remember earlier on in the Gospels, Jesus does just that, right? They're in the boat, Jesus is sleeping, and there's a big storm. And they wake him up and they say, Jesus, we're all going to perish. How could you be sleeping at this point? We're all going to perish. And what does Jesus say? He gets up, says, oh, you a little faith. And then the Bible is very specific with its wording. I love this wording. Jesus rebukes the wind and the waves. And they all calm down. It's peaceful. This is a God, the God that we're talking about, Jesus Christ. He is powerful. He is so powerful that it's not as though he can't control the storm around us. Jesus has already proven to his disciples that he can command the wind and the waves. When Jesus goes to the cross, he makes it very clear all the way back in the beginning of John, he makes it clear that nobody takes his life from him. He willingly lays down his life for his sheep. Jesus isn't taken surprised by the storm. And so the things that you're facing in your life today, you got to know that your God, he's bigger than those things. You got to know that your God, he has control over those things. You got to know that all these things that inundate your mailbox or your newsfeed or your brain space, all these things that are just bombarding you, our God is bigger than those things. It's not as though they're out of his control. But his desire for you is not to take away the storm, it's to give you peace in the midst of it. Here, we'll begin reading in verse 18 of chapter 15. It says this, if the world hates you, know that it has hated me before it hated you. If you are of the world would love you as its own. But because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. If we skip on down to verse 23, whoever hates me hates my Father also. If I had not done among them the works that no one else did, they would not be guilty of sin. But now they have seen and have hated both me and my Father. Isn't it awesome that Jesus seems to equate the world hating him? He says, the world, it hates you because you belong to me. The world hated me before it hated you because it despises who I am. It despises who my Father is. What's Jesus saying in the midst of all of that? What's he saying? If we could really whittle it down, it goes back to this theme running throughout the book of John of light and dark. If we go back to the first chapter of the book of John, we can see that the light, it came into the darkness. And what did the darkness do? It hated it. It tried to push against the light, but the darkness could not and never will defeat the light. And so that we see that there's automatically this animosity between the world, this darkness, and Jesus, this light. And Jesus says, you belong to me, and so you're going to face trouble. Why are you going to face trouble? Why are you going to face trials? Why are you going to face tribulations? If you belong to me, you'll face this. Why? As Jesus says, the servant is not greater than the master. We will face trouble. We will face trials. There will be times where we will have to clearly pick a side. There will be times in our culture, and it's not just specific to our culture. Jesus is talking to guys 2,000 years ago. So it's not just simply our culture in the 21st century. It is all throughout history that there will be a clear dividing line between good and evil. And if we choose, if we are claiming to follow Jesus, then there will come a time where we have to clearly choose a side, where we clearly stand up and say, I belong to Jesus. I stand for what Jesus stands for. There is nothing in this world that is greater to me than living for Jesus. And the world's going to hate us for that. But in the midst of that bad news is good news. The good news is that we're not alone. And we've talked about this for the last couple of weeks. The Holy Spirit, the great comforter, the great helper. Jesus has sent the Holy Spirit to indwell, to empower believers. Verse 24 of chapter 15. But when the helper comes, who I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will bear witness about me, and you also will bear witness because you have been with me from the beginning. Skip on over to chapter 16, starting in verse 7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away, for if I did not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. Concerning sin, because they do not believe in me. Concerning righteousness, because I go to the Father and they will see me no longer. Concerning judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. I have said many things to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All the Father has is mine. Therefore, I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you. What's Jesus saying here? What's Jesus talking about in the midst of the Holy Spirit coming? He says that the Holy Spirit's going to come and he's going to convict of sin. In the midst of him coming, not only is he going to convict of sin, but he's going to judge. And let me read verse 12 again. I still have many things to say, but you cannot bear them now. What an interesting comment that Jesus makes to his disciples. He's been with them for three and a half years, and he says, I have a whole lot more to say to you, but you can't handle it right now. You can't take it right now. You're not fully prepared. You're not fully ready for all that I have to tell you. And that's the role of the Holy Spirit. The role of the Holy Spirit, this awesome role, is that he indwells us. The minute that we put our trust in Jesus, the Holy Spirit comes and indwells our lives. And his work is to make us more and more like Jesus. The really neat thing about this this whole process called sanctification. The really neat thing about the sanctification process is that you should not look the same today as you did 5 years ago, spiritually speaking. Most of us don't look the same that we do today as we did 5 years previous, right? Unless we, you know, had some work done, we typically change. Here's the thing. If you are allowing the Holy Spirit to work in you, if we're not quenching Him, if we're listening to what Paul is telling us and being filled with the Holy Spirit, then what is happening is He is working in our lives. He is changing us. The Holy Spirit is making us more and more like Jesus. And what we've talked about the last couple of weeks, that's all true. That it's a difficult process a lot of times. Sometimes we gotta be pruned. Sometimes the things that are hitting inside of us that are no good, they're not of God, they need to be exposed so that they can be dealt with. And so the Holy Spirit, as He's working inside of us, as He's growing us and making us more and more like Jesus, we are able to withstand all the pressures of this world. We're able to stand in the midst of that lighthouse, just like in that picture, and watch the storm come crashing around us and be at total peace because we're right in the hand of God, knowing that we have this great comforter working inside of us. But let's go down to verse 16 of chapter 16. Jesus continues on. He says, "A little while and you will see me no longer. And again, a little while you will see me." And so some of the disciples said to one another, "What is it that He says to us? A little while and you will not see me. And again, a little while and you will see me, because I am going to the Father." So they were saying, "What does He mean by a little while?" We do not know what He is talking about, but Jesus knew that they wanted to ask. So He said to them, isn't that great? They're like trying to parse the words there Jesus are saying, but He knows their minds. He knows their hearts. And so He knows exactly what they wanted to ask Him. And so He graciously answers. Verse 19, halfway through, is this what you are asking yourselves? What I mean by saying a little while and you will not see me, and again a little while and you will see me. Truly, truly, I say to you, you will weep and lament, but the world will rejoice. You will be sorrowful, but your sorrow will turn into joy. When a woman is giving birth, she has sorrow because the hour has come. But when she has delivered the baby, she no longer remembers the anguish for joy that a human being has been born into the world. So also you have sorrow now, but I will see you again, and your hearts will rejoice, and no one will take your joy from you. Jesus is saying an amazing thing. He's saying, disciples, my friends, you're really bummed out right now. You're sorrowful right now because I'm telling you I have to go away. But actually, I'm telling you that this is to your benefit. Because you're sorrowful right now, but that sorrow is going to turn to joy. And then He gives this word picture that I don't understand. A lot of ladies in here would, right? This word picture of saying it's hard. It's sorrowful. It's so sad. But when you see that precious baby, all your sorrow turns to joy, right? And He's saying the hard times that you're going to endure on My behalf, these things that you're walking through, this heavy hearts that you have right now as you watch Me leave, all this, it's going to turn to joy. Why is it going to turn to joy? Because the Holy Spirit's coming, this great Comforter's coming, but also because Jesus is coming back. And brothers and sisters in Christ, you got to know this, that as much sorrow as we have here on this earth, whether it's that we've lost loved ones, or we're seeing culture crumble before our eyes, or watching relationships dwindle, whatever it is that we see right now that we say, wow, my heart is heavy. Wow, there's so much sorrow. Wow, this is so hard. This is no good. As much as we have all that here in this life, the Apostle Paul tells us that all of this is not worth being compared to the glory that will be revealed to us in Christ Jesus. There will be a day where all of our sorrow will turn to joy. There will be a day where he will wipe away every tear. There will be a day where there'll be no more death, no more crying, no more pain, none of that anymore, because the former things will pass away and the new will come. And so as believers, we ought to have this eternal perspective. As believers, we have to look forward to what he has in store for us. Verse 25 of chapter 16, I have said these things to you in figures of speech. The hour is coming when I will no longer speak to you in figures of speech, but will tell you plainly about the Father. In that day, you will ask in my name, and I do not say to you that I will ask the Father on your behalf. For the Father himself loves you because you have loved me and believe that I came from God. I came from the Father and have come into the world, and now I am leaving the world and going to the Father. His disciples said, Ah, now you are speaking plainly and not using figures of speech. Now we know that you know all things and do not need anyone to question you. This is why we believe that you came from the Father, from God. Jesus says, Do you now believe? After all I've said to you, after all I've done, after everything that we've been through, now that I say, okay, there's going to be time where I'm not going to speak in figure of speech, now you believe? He continues, though, Behold, the hour is coming, and indeed it has come, when you will be scattered, each one to his own home, and you will leave me alone. Yet I am not alone, for the Father is with you. I have said these things to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world. Jesus' victory on the cross, Jesus' victory rising from the grave, that victory, it gives us peace. Because Jesus doesn't say, Jesus says, verse 33, let me read it again. I have said these things to you, that in me you may have peace. He doesn't say, I've said these things to you so that you can just think nice, good thoughts. He doesn't say, I've said these things to you so that you can get a comfortable feeling. He says, no, I've said these things to you, that in me you may have peace. It is only in Jesus Christ that we can ever know peace. It is only in Jesus Christ that anyone can ever know true peace. Resting in his victory. In the world, you will have tribulation. In the world, you will have trials. In the world, you will have really, really nasty, no good, horrible days. In the world, you will have years where it will be just so horrible. You'll have seasons of life that will be marked with sorrow. In the world, you'll have tribulation. You will have trials. In the world, that's what you are promised. But take heart, because he has overcome the world. Christian, we are not just focused on the things of this world right here, right now. Brother, sister in Christ, you got to know that the things that you see, the things that you interact with, and the things that you encounter on a daily basis, all those things are going to pass away. And so what is it where's your heart? Is your heart worried and focused on the stuff that you encounter on a daily basis? Are you clinging to that promise that he has overcome the world? Are you wrecked by the bad news that you received? Are you scared because of the things that you see coming down the line? Or do you find your rest, your peace, your perfect peace, not as the world gives, but as He gives? Can you find comfort and rest in Him? He says that we can find peace in Him and that we can take heart in Him. Why? Because He's overcome the world. He's defeated sin. He's defeated death. He has the victory. And so each and every day of our lives, we should wake up and say, what a beautiful day that Jesus has given me. What a beautiful day that He has already won. What a wonderful day. Come what may, I'm resting in His promises. Come what may, I have peace because of Him. Come what may, it doesn't matter what comes. I'm going to be stable, steadfast, unshakable because I am resting in His peace. Because I'm resting in His victory. And I think the thing about all of this, as I read chapter 16, there's not a whole lot of things that Jesus is telling His disciples to do. And throughout history, Christians have wanted this, especially here in the 21st century. This is something that we really want. We really want Jesus to tell us something and say, this is it. Follow step A, B, and C, and then you'll get the thing, right? Do these things, and then you'll get it, right? And as I read chapter 16, I don't really see Jesus giving the disciples step-by-step instructions. As I read much of the Bible, I don't see the authors giving us step-by-step instructions. Instead, I see just this incredible dependence on God. As Jesus is talking with His disciples in the farewell discourse, much of the farewell discourse is telling them and reminding them of who He is, of what He's done, what He's about to do. He says, take heart, because I've overcome the world. Brother and sister in Christ, it's not as much about what you do, it's more about who you rest in. Because if you're resting in Him, then He's going to change your attitude. He's going to change your actions. He's going to change your words and your thoughts. I'd much rather lean on His power, His grace, His ability to change me. I'd much rather say, God, I am a worrier. God, this sorrow, the suffering, the tribulation that I'm facing in this world, it's a lot. And I can't take it on my own. And so I need You to envelop me, kind of like that picture. I need to just put my back against You and trust in You, to lean on You and say, Lord, I can't do this on my own. I'm going to fail on my own. And so I'm going to lean on You with everything I have. And I'm going to trust You to change me. I'm going to trust You to change my perspective. I'm going to trust You to change my outlet. I'm going to trust You to make me more like Jesus. I'm going to trust You, Lord, to help me to lean into His victory. Because it's in His victory and only in His victory that we have peace. Father, thank You for this day. Lord, we thank You so much for who You are and all that You've done. Lord, in the midst of everything that we face on a daily basis, would You remind us of what true peace looks like? Would You remind us to fully lean into You? We thank You for the promises You give us in Your Word. We thank You, Lord, that we have the Holy Spirit dwelling inside of us, making us more and more like Jesus. Help us not to be resistant to that process of sanctification in our life, but instead to wholly surrender to You and the work that You're doing. Father, we pray that as things come into our life, as the trials and the tribulations and the sufferings pound at us, Lord, I pray that in the midst of it all, we would remember that we can and should take heart because Jesus has overcome the world. And it's in His name we pray. Amen. Well, God bless you. It was great to have you here. I'll see you next week.